And boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence. And I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is. You know, the late, great journalist Harry Evans, you know, one time said that, you know, journalists should, you know, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump, his demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it. You know,
unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
There are a lot of deepfakes out there. There's not a lot of disclosure. There's not a lot of labeling. So among the many AI bills that are on the desk are three specific election-related bills.
And then do you want to sign some laws?
You know, why waste your time with a politician unless they're going to do something for you?
There's two are signed, and three are signed.
And this is now official. That is now injunctive relief if you do any of those deep fake election misrepresentations. So that's how easy it is to govern in California.
Ryan Ruth was the suspect in an alleged assassination attempt on former President Trump, I immediately recognized the name because I had been in touch with Ryan Ruth for over a year in the early stages of the war in Ukraine. Like thousands of other international volunteers, he apparently went to Ukraine to help. I don't believe that he was fighting himself, but he had put up signs in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, offering to help other foreigners find places in Ukrainian battalions. And that's how I initially came across him. I spoke with him, I think, once on the phone and texted frequently, and he put me in touch with several foreign fighters. Now, he seemed very genuine and passionate about supporting Ukraine. He mentioned plans to bring in thousands of Afghan and Syrian fighters, which I took, frankly, with a grain of salt. In an interview with the news website Semaphore, he claimed he'd been unable to get visas for Afghan fighters, but we don't know if he was actually in touch with any Ukrainian officials at all. Now, I've met American volunteers everywhere from Syria to Ukraine. Some are experienced soldiers and clear about the dangers they're facing, but others seem less well-informed and their motivations can be quite confused. To be honest, Ryan Ruth did it seem, at times, seem fairly naive. At one point, he sent me an audio track of a song he'd apparently recorded about the carnage caused by the war in Ukraine. In November of last year, he told me he was back in the U.S., in Hawaii, and that was the last time I heard from him. Anne-Marie.
Wow, Holly, fascinating. Thank you very much.
Well, for a couple reasons. One, the federal government does not have jurisdiction to bring an attempted murder charge. If you look at the federal statute, it applies to current federal officials. I'm explaining to you why that's happening, if you let me finish. So they don't have jurisdiction over a case that's not a federal official or is a apparent winner of a presidential election or the formally declared president-elect. So right then and there, we have the ability to pursue potentially life in prison under state law. That's a huge reason why we should move forward at the state level than that. And it is the case that you have a situation where these charges that were brought in this jurisdiction, Southern District of Florida, by the federal government, they were dismissed by a federal judge, and now they're on appeal trying to get those reinstated. And they have a right to do that, but I would note to you, it was Merrick Garland who assigned a special counsel because he said there was a political issue and they wanted to appear to be above it. He was the one that did that. There really was no true conflict. If these were normal crimes, you could have done it, but they did a special counsel. And so if you did a special counsel for that, wouldn't those same concerns animate whether you're the appropriate jurisdiction? So they cannot pursue charges to the extent we can. And yes, I do think that there's a lot of concern about how these agencies have operated. And the state of Florida, I mean, you know, for us, all weird shit is the truth. We're not involved in any of those other things that the Justice Department or FBI have been involved in. So it's better for the public and it's better for justice.
So there's an inevitable sit down with protectees across the Secret Service spectrum about open air events. This is going to happen. I guarantee you. The question I can't answer right now is whether each protectee is going to go with the program. In other words, will Donald Trump, if encouraged by the Secret Service, to stop golfing? Or to change golf courses or do something, you know, that's far more protected? Will he abide by that? I think in these remaining weeks, I would take the advice of security professionals, whatever they say, but we're already living in a society where our nominees, our vice presidential nominees, are speaking from behind bullet-resistant glass at open-air rallies. How far can this go? How far can we fund, if at all, the Secret Service to put numerous drones up to see an aerial shot of golf courses, concerts, rallies? Is this going to become the norm? Where is the perimeter? Because the more you move a perimeter out, now we're already hearing that this shooter was on the fence line or behind the fence line of the golf course. Where do you put your perimeter? How many agents, how many police officers will you need? Do you need an entire, you know, square acre? Do you need miles of perimeter? These are questions that almost can't be answered because they're cost prohibitive and resource prohibitive.
Frank Figliuzzi, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
So who wants to play a game? I got a fun game that we can play. Let's call it the Kevin Bacon game. You know, 7 degrees of separation, except I don't think we're going to need to go to 7 degrees. Does anyone know who this guy is? Jose Andres, World Central Kitchen, was nominated by Democrats for a Nobel Peace Prize. Look, he is obviously very well known. Oatmeal Brain knows him. He even gave him a double armed handshake. And then the president even tapped him to lead the president's council on sports, fitness, and nutrition. This guy must be really important. Oh, I mean, of course, he's friends with Harrison Walls too. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, looks like he's a celebrity chef to the Democrats. But wait, he's also friends with this guy. What? Whoa, that's weird. Hold on a second. He's friends with him too? Wow, what is this guy doing hanging out with this guy in Ukraine? And hanging out with this guy. And hanging out with this guy. And apparently he's hanging out with those two also. Do you think that maybe someone should take a look at that?
Oh yeah, let's go to the music.
You think that might be worth looking at? What do you think? I told you, we didn't even need 7 degrees. We had two degrees of separation between some weirdo and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Zelensky. And he's a chef. He's a famous chef. Knows all of them. Weird.
Mr. Trump recalling what happened that day at his Florida golf course.
All of a sudden we heard shots being fired in the air. And I guess probably 4 or 5. And it sounded like bullets.
The acting Secret Service director says those shots came from an agent who fired after spotting a rifle poking out of the tree line.
The subject, who did not have line of sight to the former president, fled the scene. He did not fire or get off any shots at our agent.
Ruth now facing federal charges of possession of a firearm by a prohibited person and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. Court documents show the 58-year-old's cell phone signal suggest he was hiding in the bushes near Trump's golf course for nearly 12 hours. This all comes just 2 months after a gunman opened fire at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania.
But the long and short of it is this. Coming out of Butler, I have ordered a paradigm shift. The Secret Service's protective methodologies work, and they are sound, and we saw that yesterday. But the way we are positioned right now in this dynamic threat environment, it has given me guidance to say, you know what, we need to look at what our protective methodology is. We need to get out of a reactive model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service. And so we are working, we are making information available to all of our partners. And I just want to say that the commitment of Congress to the Secret Service throughout the years has been tremendous. And we will continue to work with them and Secretary Mayorkas, whose support in making sure that we're getting what we need has been phenomenal.
As part of this investigation, in March of this year, special agents from HSI executed search warrants at Combs' residences in Miami and Los Angeles. They also executed a warrant for Combs' electronic devices. During those searches, agents seized evidence of the crimes charged in this indictment. They seized firearms and ammunition, including 3 defaced AR-15s and a large-capacity drum magazine. They also seized evidence of the freak-offs, electronic devices that contain images and videos of the freak-offs with multiple victims. And they seized cases of the kinds of personal lubricant and baby oil that Combs' staff allegedly used to stock hotel rooms for the freak-offs, more than 1,000 bottles altogether. In addition to the violence, The indictment alleges that Combs threatened and coerced victims to get them to participate in the freak-offs. He used the embarrassing and sensitive recordings he made of the freak-offs as collateral against the victims. And the indictment alleges that he maintained control over the victims in several ways, including by giving them drugs, by giving and threatening to take away financial support or housing, by promising them career opportunities, by monitoring their whereabouts, and even by dictating their physical appearance. Because of all of this, the indictment alleges that the victims did not believe they could refuse Combs without risking their security or facing more abuse. The indictment also alleges other acts of violence undertaken by Combs and others, including violence against witnesses to his abuse, kidnapping, and arson. The indictment alleges that on more than one occasion, Combs carried or brandished firearms to intimidate and threaten victims and witnesses. Now, Combs did not do this all on his own. As I mentioned, Combs has been charged with RICO conspiracy. He used his business and employees of that business and other close associates to get his way. Those individuals allegedly included high-ranking supervisors in the business, personal assistants, security staff, and household staff. The indictment alleges that those individuals facilitated the freak-offs. They booked the hotel rooms and stocked them with the supplies, including drugs, baby oil, personal lubricant, extra linens, and lighting. When the hotel rooms got damaged, they helped clean it up. They arranged for victims and commercial sex workers to travel for the freak-offs, and they delivered large quantities of cash to Combs to pay for the commercial sex workers. The indictment also alleges that they helped Combs cover up his crimes. During the March 2016 incident at the LA hotel that I mentioned earlier, a member of the hotel security staff intervened, and Combs attempted to bribe the staff member with a stack of cash to make sure that what happened was kept quiet. And as the indictment alleges, in late 2023, after public allegations were made about Combs' crimes, he and others pressured witnesses and victims to stay silent, including by making phone calls to witnesses and victims and giving them a false narrative of what they had experienced. And as alleged, Combs used others to help conceal his abuse by monitoring and preventing victims from leaving a location in order to hide their injuries, or by locating and contacting a victim who had attempted to flee. Sean Combs led and participated in a racketeering conspiracy that used the business empire he controlled to carry out criminal activity, including sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and the obstruction of justice. Let me say a little bit more about the charges. The indictment alleges that Combs abused and exploited women and other people for years, and in a variety of ways. As alleged, Combs used force, threats of force, and coercion to cause victims to engage in extended sexual performances with male commercial sex workers, some of whom he transported or caused to be transported over state lines. Combs allegedly planned and controlled the sex performances, which he called freak-offs, and he often electronically recorded them. The freak-offs sometimes lasted days at a time, involved multiple commercial sex workers, and often involved a variety of narcotics, such as ketamine, ecstasy, and GHB, which Combs distributed to the victims to keep them obedient and compliant. As alleged, when Combs didn't get his way, he was violent, and he subjected victims to physical, emotional, and verbal abuse so that they would participate in the freak-offs, and that Combs hit, kicked, threw objects at, and dragged victims, at times by their hair. On one occasion in March of 2016, that conduct was captured on video and later reported in the media. Specifically, Combs kicked, dragged, and threw a vase at a victim in a Los Angeles hotel when the victim was attempting to flee. As alleged, these assaults often resulted in injuries to the victims, which took days or weeks to heal.
Hey, how can I help you?
Hey there, is it Jeremy?
Yeah.
How are you?
Who are you? Christian O'Donnell with the FBI.
Can you give your full name, please?
Major O'Donnell with the FBI.
Is that sufficient to identify? Is there only one O'Donnell affiliated with the FBI?
In New Hampshire, yes.
Could you please state your full name, sir?
Could you please stop recording?
No. It's the First Amendment right.
Okay.
What's your name, sir?
Could you stop recording, please?
Absolutely not. You can show me your name and identification, or I'm going to go back inside my house.
Okay. I don't really want to broadcast my...
This is going out right after you guys walk
know,
away.
So that's why I'm not going
to do it. So you can show me your name or ID. You can walk away.
We just want to document.
I'm not going to talk to people who claim to be federal agents unless they can show me identification.
Okay. Well, you see our badges.
Right? I need to see... Is your full name on that badge?
No.
I'd like to see something with your full name, or I'm not going to talk to you.
I prefer you not to broadcast it.
This will be going online as soon as you walk away.
Well, all I want to do is talk to you about a post that was made, and if you happen to be the one that made the post.
I want to talk to you about you guys coming here. Say you make a salary of, I don't know what, low 100K? You guys making six figures? Factor in 50% expenses, overhead, maybe 100% expenses. Talking about burning a couple hundred dollars an hour just here, let alone all the time you guys are spending to investigate something that you know is not against the law, right? Like,
so
you're familiar with...
We're
so then why would
sure,
you come?
Because we wanted to make sure that there weren't any...
No, you're coming because you're part of a regime that does this kind of thing when you know laws aren't being broken. And that's an embarrassment, man. Didn't you guys read the Constitution? Do you not believe in America?
So
like, how do you do your jobs and go home?
We appreciate it.
You're walking away. Because nothing we did is against the law, and you guys are fuckheads that try to act like bullies. And I hope you go home and are embarrassed. You can't even say your name on camera, because you know that what you're doing is embarrassing. You know Americans that believe in the Constitution think you're laughable. And you go home and you think about what you did today. Go home and think about it, you cowards. Drive away. Drive away. You're not welcome. You should be embarrassed. Embarrassing. You guys are embarrassing.
Many shipments are now coming from. Might be a surprise.
A Sinaloa and a CJNG.
Latin American cartels moving drugs to and through Atlanta.
So the highways, you can go up the East Coast, you can go out to Midwest, you can go, I mean, we have the highway system that makes it easy. So all the drugs come through here, stockpiled, and they're shipped all over the U.S., and then the money comes back and it's stockpiled and then they're shipped down.
This is, so, Atlanta is effectively a warehouse.
It's a warehouse.
And according to the DEA, it is a major warehouse.
So Atlanta, it's safe to say, in your view, Atlanta is one of the top three distribution hubs for the Sinaloa cartel in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
זה בסדר לירוק על נוצרים.
האם זה בסדר? מצד מה? האם מבחינת התורה?
לך, כאילו.
אז ככה.
מה אתה אומר?
אם הם עובדי עבודה זרה, אז אנחנו צריכים למוס בהם ולשקט אותם ולרמוס אותם ובעיקרון גם להרוג אותם, כי הרי גוי חייב בשם המצוות מנוח, ואם הוא לא מקיים את זה צריך להרוג אותו. אבל...
אתה תרוג מישהו?
אם הייתי יכול, הייתי מאוד שמח לעשות את זה, אבל אין לנו בית דין, אז אנחנו לא יכולים לעשות את זה.
אוקיי.
אבל האם לירוק עליהם, אז ככה, זה יכול לגרום גם לעבירה שקוראים לחילול השם, ואם אין לזה תועלת, אז אין עניין לעשות את זה, אבל אם היה לזה תועלת כלשהי, שזה היה מפחית את העבודה הזרה בעולם, ודאי שהיה בזה עניין גדול.
אז זה שמישהו מאמין בישו ונצרות וזה, זה...
אז צריך להרוג אותו.
בינתיים, אוקיי, אבל אין בית דין.
אז לא עושים את זה.
אז זה בסדר לירוק על מישהו כזה?
אמרתי, אם זה גורם תועלת, אז כן, אם לא, אז לא.
תסביר תועלת.
להסביר את הילד, אם הוא יפסיק לעבוד בגלל זה עבודה זרה, אם הוא יתרחק מהעניין.
אבל זה אמונה של מישהו אחר.
זה אמונה שמי שמאמין בה צריך להרוג אותו.
מי שמאמין שהאלוהים שלי הוא
חלק מאיש, אז צריך להרוג אותו. מי שמזלזל באלוהים שלי, אז אני ארוג אותו.
אז זה לא, אבל זה תפקיד שלכם, להרוג או לרעוק, זה לא התפקיד של אלוקים?
לא, השם אומר לנו מה לעשות.
הוא אומר, זה כתוב, להרוג? איפה כתוב?
היהדות תפקידה בעולם זה לעשות טוב, לגרום שהעולם יהיה נקי.
כן.
אז כל בן אדם שיאמין באיזה בן זונה אחד.
אבל איזה זה כתוב? אבל איפה זה כתוב?
איפה זה כתוב? בגמרא. אתה רוצה להביא גמרא? אנחנו יכולים להביא גמרא ולראות.
אבל גמרא זה כתוב על ידי אנשים, לא על ידי...
על ידי אנשים שהקדוש ברוך הוא שלח. חכמים שכתוב בתורה של להקשיב להם.
Part of the answer here is a private sector answer. Let the private sector move to bring people in and make and facilitate them being able to do that. And, you know, a lot of the screening and other stuff that we do, frankly, is just bureaucracy. It's a waste of time. Let's let people in by and large. And if we have to do the screening ex post, that's fine. I can tell you, bad guys and bad women probably find their way into this country through means other than applying through permanent residency. Like, let's just face that, right? So we just need to sort of take this on as a challenge and a problem, have KPIs, and then partner with the private sector. I mean, look at this anachronistic way of these labor market opinions, those who've tried to hire somebody from outside the country to do a job. I mean, it's crazy. Guess what? A Canadian firm wants to hire somebody from outside the country, they've identified them, they interviewed them, they want to pay them, and that individual is going to be taxed in the Canada, approved. What's that, what's that mortgage ad? Approved, right? Like we should get those guys to be running our immigration system.
Okay.
بس ركزي شوي هيدا رايح هيدا اسمع وهيدا رايح
ما بدكش الحال
جيبوا الطوارئ حدا حدا في يدي بس ما
Diez medidas para acabar con el terror islamista de los falsos refugiados que han matado en Solingen, en Mannheim o en Algeciras. Primera, que ustedes pidan perdón y se vayan a casa. Segunda, no mentir. La inmigración masiva, ilegal e indiscriminada no es ni buena ni inevitable. Es un crimen y un peligro para la supervivencia de Europa. Tercero, lancemos un mensaje al mundo. Digamos, Europa va a dejar de ser el paraíso de los falsos refugiados. Ningún extranjero que entre ilegalmente en Europa obtendrá jamás ayudas sociales, ni permiso de residencia, ni asilo, ni protección. Vuestra protección es nuestra ley. Si incumplís nuestra ley, no tenéis protección. Cuarto, combatir con todos los medios a nuestro alcance las mafias de tráfico de personas, poniendo fin al esclavismo. Combatamos con todos nuestros medios. Entremos en sus casas, asaltemos sus embarcaciones, los detenemos y los metemos en la cárcel. Y también aquellas ONGs que colaboran yendo con grandes barcos pagados con fondos públicos a las costas del tercer estado para traerlos a nuestros puertos. Quinto, pongamos en marcha el mayor plan de deportación que haya conocido la historia. Sexto, suspender la ayuda a terceros países que no controlan su inmigración. No conceder jamás la nacionalidad a nadie que haya entrado ilegalmente en territorio europeo. Control y cierre inmediato de las mezquitas salafistas y wahabistas donde se promueven expresiones contrarias a Occidente. Cambiemos el régimen de asilo y, por último, exijamos a todos los medios de comunicación que indiquen el origen y la identidad de los agresores, bajo pena de no recibir subvención pública, para que Jovenlandia deje de ser un país. Stop invasión.
And giving everybody a light, man, this is an unbelievable thing, man. Like we all, hey, everybody know ain't no party like a Diddy party, so.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, everybody know ain't no party like a Diddy party, so.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
They sacrificed and did it. They said, nigga, you gotta take this shit, cause we can't be involved. But Diddy smart. He filmed every fuck session. So he was fucking Clive and the motherfucking freak boy that run Universal Music Group. So he got them on some fuck tapes. Now that's why they raiding the house, because they got friends in Homeland Security and the feds. And they said, get in there and get them tapes from this nigga. He trying to blackmail us. That's what I believe is going on.
Where should I start? Where do you want me to start? Right after the stabby jabby started? That's when we started seeing heart issues, kidney issues, not only that, but diabetes issues. Patients that didn't have diabetes went up 75% in 2022. Mm-hmm. People that had diabetes and got Schmovid, their diabetes is no longer under control anymore. They're on 2 and 3 different medications. That's just the beginning. The heart issues are out of control. We put so many heart consults out, we're now putting community veterans into the community because we don't have enough heart doctors to see them. The heart monitors that they're wearing, we don't even have enough of them. Let's see. Turbo cancers? Mm-hmm, yeah, that too. Right after, along with the 2022 stuff, kidney issues were happening as well. Up the wazoo. Now, patients are having pneumonia recently in the last 4 months. I had a veteran today, 9 medications he's been on. Pneumonia's still there because they can't figure it out. You know how many he's had? Mm-hmm. And all the flu. They can't figure it out. The skin issues people are having, mind-blowing. Bleeding in the eye and on the back of the retina and the back of the eye, astonishing. Strokes through the roof. They're having strokes in their eyes, in their brains, embolisms, pulmonary embolisms, you name it. You name it, I can tell you how much it has increased in just the hospital that I work at in the Portland metro area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's astonishing. And people wonder why I go home if I have to go to the bathroom. I'm not sitting on these toilets. I'm one of 3 people who didn't get it. Out of the whole entire hospital. Terrifying. Literally terrifying. The things, the skin issues, the sores, and the wounds. You can debride them and they don't help at all. You can pack them and wrap them and it will still look the exact same 3 weeks later. It's bad. It's very bad. And people are dying at a rate that blows my ever-loving mind. I've been here 16 years. I've never seen people die like this, ever. Ever. It's scary. And the scariest part is all the people who've gotten it. We're going to have to take care of them. We're going to have to figure out where to put them. We're going to have to figure out how to do all that, because who's going to do it? Most of the medical people got it. Got 6, 7, 10, 8 of them. It's scary. I know what's coming, and it's scary. Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox. Hope that helps.
All they've been doing is coming into the room, telling me, oh my gosh, you look like you're in so much pain, we're so sorry. Giving me a new opioid to try, and leaving for another 4 hours. I've been begging for eye drops for at least 6 hours because my eyes burn and they won't let me touch my face. But my eyes are itchy. I can no longer lower my neck. And there's a giant lump here in my skin. And I've been asking for a CT scan since last night, and they won't come. Again, they're just coming in and telling me, oh, we understand you're in pain. I've been screaming and yelling, screaming that I need immediate relief to this. And all they care about is putting me on more opioids to make me tired, because I think they don't want me reporting this anymore. Because one of the doctors came in and said that I could be in trouble for recording everything because it's against the nurses' wishes, but I never put any of the nurses on camera, just their voice.
Now on Just One Station, horses missing after a barn break-in. That search ending hours later and not far from their home. Two animals found butchered about a mile away.
And tonight, their owners, as you can imagine, are looking for answers. The Night Team's Alex Browning has this exclusive.
For somebody to have the stomach to do something like this, this is heartless.
A heartless horse heist in Southwest Miami-Dade over the weekend.
This is the same thing as going into somebody's yard, taking their dog, and cooking it.
Turning deadly, two horses swiped from Southwest Miami-Dade turned up dead. Their corpses found Sunday morning off Southwest 205th Avenue.
Noticed that the fence was cut, and at that point we realized that they were taken.
Owner David says it started sometime overnight Saturday. His two horses, Sammy and Moore, were on the home front, stolen from their stalls off Southwest 207th Avenue.
There are children, and they were abducted and killed for meat.
Their corpses later found a few blocks away.
Both horses were slaughtered sometime over the weekend. We need to come together, help out the detectives in this investigation. Let's give some closure to the family and, of course, put behind bars these individuals that would do such a heinous crime.
A mystery leaving a family heartbroken and now searching for answers.
You know, our children are heartbroken. My wife's heartbroken. And, you know, we're just trying to get through this.
And now detectives working to identify that mastermind behind this heist. If you have any information, call Miami-Dade Police. In Southwest Miami-Dade, Alex Browning, 7 News 19.
The staffing company is what takes the migrants. So Haitian compound of all of the vans.
Yeah, there's multiple houses right here. This is like their lot for older.
So these are the vans that drive the Haitians to the meat factories.
Yeah, the packing factory.
To the packing factories.
Yeah.
Is this right here?
Just another carrier van for the immigrants.
To the meat factories.
To the factories, yep. The three factories.
How many vans do you think are in this town?
At first I thought there was maybe like 24. Then it just kept on growing and growing. They must have poured the merch on these vans.
And another one, too.
Yeah, they must have poured the merch on these vans.
All of these take the Haitians to the meat factories.
Yep.
And this is the other location where
this
the migrants.
This is one of the other two that's up in this area. And so this has been here, but they were using, they were all using local labor, and now it's probably over 90%, immigrant that they brought in.
So this goes to Tyson, too.
Yeah, yeah.
One second, stop right here.
Yeah.
So this meat that the Haitians, or this meat factory that the Haitians are working at, that displaced most of the domestic workers, shipping to Tyson.
Laws and culture is 180 degrees different than what they're used to. And one of the things that I heard that bothered me very much, and I've actually had quite a few people contact me here lately, is some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animals in the neighborhood. We've had some stuff in the park that they're being taken advantage of for reasons other than. And if you shake your head, Brian,
but I asked me if there was proof. I have the same thing.
People that have confided in me have asked me for anonymity. I can't give their names up.
I mean, we haven't seen the proof that you're talking about. And I've heard about it too.
Yeah.
When audience comments were over last meeting, most of us left. We had the agenda. We knew the topics. We know the votes you're going to cast. It's all going to be yes as usual. During the break, Crystal forgot to turn her mic off and announced to the entire city that we don't give a shit. With that statement, Crystal single-handedly proved that this is how the citizens of this city are talked about between yourselves. This is where our concerns and fears get us in your eyes. Thanks, Crystal. Thanks for that. So I'm going to ask you, before I'm done with this joke, who the hell don't give a shit again?
I beg your pardon. Thank you.
I've been researching Black Lives Matter, and I've been understanding the politics and how they're funded by white liberals. They're white liberals in blackface.
Because yes, they're called Jews.
White liberals in blackface, when I say that, it's because the white liberals is all about feminism, LGBT.
Feminism.
White liberals don't really care
LGBT.
About black people.
That's
I
correct.
Realize white liberals don't really care about me, bro.
That's correct.
I'm off the plantation, bro.
Oh, my God.
I'm off the plantation, bro.
Oh man, I hate to break it to you, bro, but you're not off the plantation. You've just been transferred to Charlie Kirk's plantation in the slave trade. And notice how, whether you're on the Democrat plantation or the TPUSA plantation, which are like competing matrices, simulated realities to keep you unaware of the real problem, the problem for them is always white people. White people, they not do enough for us. Nah, they don't really care about us. Shit. Maybe the problem isn't white people at all. Maybe you are the problem. Maybe they are the problem. Just look at all the Jewish people pretending to be white on Twitter so that they can hate on their quote-unquote fellow white people. If you really want to talk about white people in blackface or Jewish people in whiteface or whatever, I realize, yo, that it's not the white Republicans, it's the white liberals. They not do enough for me. What about what you can do for your country? To quote another white liberal, JFK. And by the way, turn your fucking visor around. You look like a nigger. You know, whether it's TPUSA or the Democrat Party, they all serve them the exact same slop. And they say, here, no, come to our plantation. We actually care about you. And it's like, bro, you are still on the plantation. It's always me with these people. And it's like, as a minority in a country, it is very improper to constantly be making these kinds of demands. It's just upside down to be flip-flopping back and forth between these parties to figure out which one will better help you be a drain on society. Especially if you are still unwittingly stuck in a slave role. But not to white people. You're still acting as a slave to the foreign-controlled party system designed to screw over the actual inheritors of this nation.
Did you know that Vladimir Putin, the Russian's president, he's passed a law that any Russian who grows or sells genetically modified foods is to be considered a terrorist? Whew. He's even giving land away to Russians who will grow food organically, non-GMO. You put his name and GMO in Google ad, and you'll read the spiel. He says, we Russians look across at the West, over-vaccinated, over-medicated, over-fed, sitting in front of boxes every night in their lounge rooms, eating food that has no nutrients, he said, and we know it's weakening the West. Is he right? Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. Unfortunately, Monsanto is so powerful and so wealthy and so big, they win every court case where Australians want GMO to be labelled on the products. Happens in America too. It's unfortunate. So how do you know? Well, you don't, unless you buy organic. You see, if an organic farmer uses genetically modified seed, they lose their organic status. So grow as much as you can yourself. And the more Aussies that buy organic, the more organic will be available. One organic tomato will give you 9 times the iron of a conventionally grown tomato. So you get much more value for your money, even though organic is more expensive. Genetically modified food happens when the DNA of two different species are spliced together to create, for instance, DNA of the tomato with the DNA of an Atlantic salmon, hoping to create a tomato that grows in the snow, but actually it doesn't grow in the snow. And it has 5 centres instead of one, and there's all these strange things happening. And when the person eats that tomato, it breaks down to molecules that your body cannot recognise and has the ability to damage your DNA.